Let's go to the Word, and we will be reading this morning from Exodus chapter 16 and 17. So there's the title for today, Welcome to Wilderness Elementary School. So that's our journey today. Buckle up. We're going to be in Exodus 16 on this journey. This is the journey of the Hebrew people who were set free by God's mighty arm after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And now, in this chapter, they are on a journey to the Promised Land. Now, using modern transportation, looking at the map, using transportation today like buses or trains, you could go from Cairo in Egypt to the West Bank in roughly 18 to 19 hours. And I used Google Maps. I know that cannot be accurate going back, but just to measure a rough path, and I came up with 600 miles for this journey from Egypt to Mount Sinai, then up north, and then around the Dead Sea to the Jordan River, where they crossed at the end. So, without modern transportation, just using your feet or a donkey, if you get tired, it would take about 11 days. That's a journey of 11 days. And I've been in some of these places, specifically in Jordan. It's an 11-day trip, but it took them 40 years, 40 years, and many of them didn't even make it. Why? Why? Because they would not trust the same God who delivered them from Egypt, who delivered them from the army of Pharaoh. They saw the plagues, and they were safe. Who had them cross the Red Sea on dry land, and they would not trust him with the simple, basic needs for their daily life in the wilderness. And we will see. We're not judging them. We will see how we resemble them in some ways. So why should we study this journey or their journey? Why? Well, first of all, it's the Word of God. But even more, the Bible gives us the reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about this journey. And beginning with verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then verse 3. And all ate the same spiritual food, which we will talk about. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in that same wilderness. Now these things, and that's the answer, why should we study that journey? Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Now these things happened, verse 11, to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. In other words, here's a famous quote by Eleanor Roosevelt on that same topic. Learn from the mistakes of others. You can't live long enough to make them all yourself. I'm sure you agree on that. So this journey to the Promised Land is one of the most action-packed stories in the Bible. And I've studied it for 4 years. The first time was 15 years ago. And I'm glad that I didn't have Google Drive back then. I lost my notes. Because 2 years ago, I studied it again. So I didn't need to use those notes. And God was teaching me new lessons. It's good when you lose your old notes and your old sermons. Then you study again, right? So it's an action-packed journey. among the stories in the Bible. It's exciting and it's heartbreaking at the same time. And it is there in that story that we are introduced to the most common disease among God's people, me included, us included, and it's spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia, sorry, can't see it there. And I called our lesson today the Wilderness Elementary School because these people are in school. That is a school. And here's the student body. It's a student body of 2 million plus with one teacher, God, two teacher's aides, Moses and Aaron. God bless their heart. And one lesson, only one lesson, one subject, and that subject is trust. Trust. They're going through the lesson on trust in a practical way every day. And since it's elementary, we'll say they're not really scoring high on their benchmark. Can't say ACT. So, and at the end, they've actually flunked that class, that subject, for 40 years, 40 times. And they would have never made it out of the wilderness but for the grace of God, and many of them didn't, and we know the story. So, the people were being taught to trust God in what? In basics. In the basic needs of life. That's why it's elementary school, the basics. And we're going to look at three of these basic needs by looking at Exodus chapter 16 and 17. And those basic needs are food, rest, water. And we'll see that each of these provisions point to Jesus as our ultimate provision, as our provider, and as our ultimate need also. So let's read verses 1 to 3, Exodus 16. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. Now, Elim was a good place. It was a place of oasis and water. Before that, there was a place of dryness. There was a place of bitterness. There was bitter water, and God changed that water and made it sweet. And then he moved them to another camp. If you study those camps, there's 42 camps, and they're all different. And God was moving them from homeroom to different subjects. And so now they moved from Elim, and they're in the wilderness. And this is, by the way, this is Sin, not the wilderness of Sin. This is the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th. Day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. So you can see on the map where they are. This is the beginning of the journey. We're right at the beginning. Verse 2. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Now, just in case somebody doesn't know the story, those people, they were not in the Caribbean. They were not on a retreat. They were in slavery. But then it seems there were meat pots all over. Now, looking at their grumbling and complaining, aren't you glad that you're not Moses or Aaron in that situation? Now, remember that. Remember that next time you have to deal with an ungrateful person or 2 million plus. So, verse 4, we see the first provision. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." So everything was test. And all these basic needs, they were tested after. So they continue to grumble and complain, and God continues to bless and provide. And we grumble and complain, and God provides and God blesses. And what is that telling us about God's grace? And here it is. God meets our needs apart from our merit. And that is grace. What they deserved really is to be smoked right there, right at that moment, from the first day, really. Because 3 days after crossing the Red Sea, there was grumbling and complaining. And God continues to bless them, and God does the same for us. Now, I'm not saying that God blesses disobedience. No. God is not blessing them on who they were or what they did, but based on who God is. God was dealing with them based on who He is and based on a covenant that God had made with Abraham. And God does not break His covenant. We break covenants. And we all have experienced amazing blessings and times when we thought that nothing good should come our way. And thinking about that, some of us would not be married today if our spouses had the ability of seeing the future, honestly. And some of us would not have children if we had the foresight ability. But that's how it is. But with God, it's different. And this is who God is, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not based on merit, but based on Him and on His grace. So with all that love, still people choose to have something else. People choose to have something called judicial relationship with God. What's a judicial relationship with God? It's, I do good, you give me good things. I do bad, you give me bad, you punish me. And just a piece of advice, never ask for God's justice. Ask for His mercy. Now, a judicial relationship, that is not grace, and that is not our God. The more we understand grace, the better we are secure in God and in our relationship with God. And this is not cheap grace, by the way. This is unmerited goodness. So let's read verses 4 and 5 and continue in our story. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Verse 5, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Now, is God testing them to see if they will trust Him? Is God testing them to see what they will do? No. God is teaching them to trust Him, and God wants to test their ability to see who God is. God knows us. And here are the questions, those two questions, very important questions. Is God trustworthy? Will He keep His word? So God is going to give them bread enough for one day, and on day six, He's going to give them bread enough for 2 days. Now, bread for one day only, and on day six, bread for 2 days only, you know what? That's against human nature. You know why? Because human nature hoards. Human nature hoards. And human nature wants guarantees. And there's no guarantee here. There's only enough for one day. We don't like that, right? We prefer prenuptial agreement over covenant. That would be our choice. And God did promise never to leave me, right? Nor forsake me. But I need something tucked away so that I can feel okay, right? And just in case God doesn't respond quickly or the way I want, I need something. I need my own guarantee. And friends, do you know what that is called? That's called idolatry. That's called idolatry because this is putting something else in our lives as a form of guarantee before God. And God is plan B. Well, this is the test God